In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, I have taught for many years, and it's amazing to me, not surprising, but amazing how things continue, certain things. So at the beginning of the quarter, I will give them the rubrics that are needed to be fulfilled in order to pass. I tell them, if you do these things, you will pass. And throughout the quarter, I will give them reminders. You have a month left. Till the end of the quarter, you have 2 weeks, you have 10 days, and inevitably, there will be a few. When the day comes to turn in their work in order to get the grade, they will come up and they say, I don't have it done. And I have to look at them and say, well, what do you want me to do about it? It was your grade. I gave you all these warnings. It was written. It was posted in the front of the classroom. You didn't fulfill it. What would you do if you were in my place? I try to be merciful, but there's also justice that needs to be, and also the lesson that needs to be taught with the circumstance, not just for the individual, but for all the rest of them. Justice and the others, they have put forth the effort, an example, so that maybe he might amend or she might amend their ways and not keep doing this foolishness and hoping that for some reason they're going to get a good grade when they haven't earned it. And then it's interesting because sometimes you'll get the parents that support you and they'll say, yep, that's right. You should have done what you're supposed to do, and then they get double consequence at home. And then you get those who they're enabled by their parents. The parents will come up and try to somehow think that this is a bargaining chip, that they can go back and forth. No, you're not being very nice to my child. And I've played this game for many, many years. And yeah, it's a game, which I have to be strong with. Now, why do I tell you all of this? Well, because this is something for us to consider this Sunday. The good Lord has given us or gives us warnings. This is something that's going to happen. If you think you can change this, you're a fool. If you don't prepare for this, you're a fool. This is the purpose for which you were created. Live it. Live for this purpose. Don't live for popular opinion or emotions or any of the other dead ends that are out there that absolutely distract you from your goal. What's your goal? Your goal is heaven. How do you get there? You're not going to just happen end up in heaven. You have to earn it. How do you earn it? You make good use of the graces given to you. Every man is given the necessary grace to save their souls. Some will throw it away. Some will ignore it. Some will abuse it. And their few will use it. Which one will you be? There are those people who have people under their care. And they let them not fulfill the obligations that they need to fulfill in order to save their souls. And they think they're going to have some type of way of bargaining with God when that day comes. No, Christ says, behold, I have told it to you beforehand. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. We have been warned. And it's not just a warning of fear. It's a warning of want. God wants our salvation more than we want it. God so loved the world to send his only begotten Son. Now, either you really believe that or you don't. And if you don't, then you're just playing the church game. But if you do, now there's things that we need to do in order to have salvation. It's not something that's just going to happen. And we who have people under us, children, we have to teach them. You have a responsibility. If God gives you a gift, gives you grace, gives you an opportunity, you have to use it. This gospel was written after, or the part of the gospel that we read today happens after our Lord has confronted the Pharisees. the church of the time, the chief priests and the Pharisees. And he laid into them like no others. And you should read it. Called them brood of vipers, whitened sepulchres, outside nice and clean, but full of dead men's bones and all corruption. And then he asks them, how can any of you escape damnation? And then he says, you will no longer see me here, not until you learn to cry, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For I and the Father are one and the same. And they try to stone him. So he leaves. They're walking out. And one of his apostles decides to turn around and look at the temple. The sun must have been shining on it just right. It was a glorious sight. Rebuilt by Herod. And out of instinct, the apostle points it out to the group. Boy, look at the temple. And then our Lord goes into the destruction of the temple, followed by the gospel that we read. But then what precedes, or what comes after, I should say, is our Lord talks, gives the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, many of you, if not all of you, know it, but it's good for us to review it. The 10 virgins, there's 5 foolish and 5 wise. The 5 foolish and the 5 wise, they have the same opportunity. They know the bridegroom is coming. They have lamps. They have oil in their lamps at the beginning. But the wise made sure they had spare oil. They just didn't live for the day, the moment. They were making sure that they prepared for the future. The foolish didn't. They had enough oil for the day. That should be good. And it says, and the bridegroom was late in coming. So they slept. And middle of the night, a cry rose up. The bridegroom's here. Let's go to meet him. And the virgins all rose, and the 5 foolish, they trimmed their lamps, and they saw that the lamps were going out. The 5 wise, they trimmed their lamps, and they filled it up with more oil. And the foolish says to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. And the foolish says, there may not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to them that sell it and buy some. And they went off. And it was at that moment that the bridegroom came. And those that were ready went in with him. Later on, the foolish virgins came. The doors being shut. Apeire Domine, open to us, O Lord. And what does he say? I don't know you. Our Lord ends the parable by saying, watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. Watch and pray. Make good use of the gifts given to you, the gift of this moment. Don't be foolish and waste the graces given to you and think for some reason you can make for yourself your own rules. No, these aren't my rules. These are God's rules. If we want salvation, we have to follow that course. The truth doesn't change. It's not subjective. Christ is not subjective. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's not sufficient enough for us to say, oh, Lord, Lord, every once a week on a Sunday. He says, they who say, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but they who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. Denial of self, taking up our cross, following him. You want a solution to your problems? He's right here. You want an answer to your questions? He's right here. You want the salvation of your soul? He's right here. What are you going to do about it? What is your decision? Because your decision, like my students who get the grade that they deserve, we will get the grade that we deserve. What type of grade do you want? Do you want heaven? Do you want to be a saint? Pursue it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.